Transportation meeting together. It's March 27th, 1:30, 5 p.m. We have a quorum present, Senator Lincoln and Senator Wagner and myself, Chair Senator Calvary. We're going to deal with, and I'd like to move this bill off today, Senate Bill 31. It's a rail connection bill for consideration. And the first thing I would like to do, a motion to move the committee substitute. It's a version I believe.
I'd move committee substitute number 31, 23-LS0336/I.
Okay. Any objection? So moved. I have a few bullet points, and then we're going to have somebody from the railroad here. If you guys recall, the last time we had the hearing, we had some questions, and a railroad has been working on this, and we have Phyllis Johnson, I think, is the attorney for the railroad online. I think that she could probably go through this and help us out with the changes. And if not, Lindy or Wendy Lindstrom is here, and she has all the answers. So, are you online, Phyllis?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Would you care to go through the bill and for the benefit of the committee and talk about the proposed changes and this and that?
Yes, sir, I certainly will. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. members of the committee.
We have
I am Phyllis Johnson. I am Vice President and General Counsel of the railroad. I have been, along with Wendy Lindskog and a few others here, working on revisions that are reflected in the committee substitute. We have also worked closely with some folks at the Department of Natural Resources so that we could address issues that are important to their mission as well as to the railroad mission. And with that in mind, we started out with the basic structure of the previous version of this bill, but then we kind of inserted ourselves in the middle of it, so to speak, and tried to define more steps of the process that would or should occur as we move along here. And what we tried to set up was really a three-tier sort of arrangement. The Alaska Railroad can, as you see in the very beginning on the first page, we still on line 6 and 7 still have the railroad with the ability to delineate a proposed transportation corridor that we're still pointing at 500 feet wide at this point, unless there are some things that cause us not to suggest 500 feet, and those would primarily be kind of geographical, physical obstacles or some of the private land ownership patterns that already exist. So first we delineate a proposed 500-foot wide corridor and associated rail line, rail land, if we need bump outs for section maintenance or transfer facilities and what have you. So we go through that process, and when we identify these lands in this way, the Department of Natural Resources will reserve them on their state records, subject to valid existing rights. And I suspect there will be a number of those that show up as we go along, and they are already there, so we will have to deal with them in the right way. So the Department of Natural Resources will reserve this proposed 500-foot corridor. It will continue to manage that land because even though the railroad can identify a corridor, I think fairly soon, we will not really be able to begin construction until funding is established and a lot of other things happen. So the idea is that the department reserve the land on an interim basis, so to speak, continues to manage it for the sort of uses of land that DNR can authorize. But once we have identified it, DNR will need to consult with the railroad whenever someone wants a new permit or lease or something in that area and make sure that whatever uses it authorizes are conditioned in some manner to accommodate the future railroad alignment if it goes through. We're also going to cooperate on an ongoing basis trying to identify the best places for bona fide crossings in the future so that we can kind of design around it and build in all the safety features we need, and at the same time reserving the public access to all the resources and activities in that area of the state that DNR is concerned to preserve, and those are important. Then once the railroad gets to the point of having funding to actually intend to begin construction of a portion, maybe not all at one time, but some portion of this route, then we notify DNR that we're ready to begin construction, and at that point, they transfer the management authority of that part of the corridor to us. Again, subject to valid existing rights, and again, subject to their continuing authority to try to identify potential crossings. We'll continue to work together on that all through every stage of this process. But we get management authority of the segment of the corridor that we want to construct in. We construct, and once we're finished with construction, then the last step comes into play, which is we then provide the Department of Natural Resources with an as-built survey of the center line and a corridor 100 feet on either side of the center line, so for the traditional 200 feet. That will be conveyed to the Alaska Railroad from the DNR. And the intention here is to preserve the full 500 feet as a transportation corridor that, you know, can be used for a lot of other purposes besides just a railroad. And once the railroad is built within there, then our 200-foot-wide corridor is kind of a mini corridor within the larger corridor. And we have both title and full authority to do things within our 200 feet. And DNR will continue to manage that surrounding what's left of the original 500-foot corridor for all sorts of other transportation corridor sort of uses. And then we have some kind of provisions, fallback provisions, that if at some point in time the railroad, you know, determines that we're really never going to build at least in one segment or in all of it, and we notify DNR that it's not needed as a transportation corridor for us anymore, then DNR can continue to administer the whole thing as a transportation corridor under its statutes and not worry about us any longer. We've also provided, and this is over on page 4, section F, a special provision in the event that a natural gas pipeline becomes more likely than the railroad, we build the railroad through there. So we've got a mechanism whereby if DNR gets a request to actually allow a pipeline to be constructed, DNR will give the railroad notice. And if we are able at that time, we have an opportunity to go out and choose our center line. We have to speak now or kind of hold our peace in a way. We have to go, and if we can delineate a center line right then or within a reasonable period of time, then DNR will not allow the pipeline to be constructed within the 200-foot corridor that we will have identified by surveying that center line. Unless they cannot find a reasonable or at least an prudent alternative for the routing. So they have to consult with us. They have to try not to, even if we don't do a centerline survey at that point in time, perhaps funding is not available or whatever, DNR then does still have to consult with us to try to at least minimize the effects on the rail route when it authorizes construction of the natural gas pipeline. We've also, in the following paragraph, G, reserve the right for the Department of Natural Resources to identify and permit crossings at appropriate locations in the future, and they have to work with us closely on that. They have to get our concurrence, which is limited to safety and operating sort of matters rather than something arbitrary and outside our expertise. The rest of it is pretty much similar to what was in the bill before, and is really cleaning up loose ends, like directing the railroad to work with the federal government once we identify a route to set aside and withdraw any federal lands that the route might cross. Requires us to undertake an environmental impact statement when we get to the point of acquiring federal lands. If the route chosen involves privately owned lands, at this point in time, then we have to consider whether we should try to exercise the power of eminent domain or negotiate with people or maybe change our routing. So all of those, as I say, are kind of housekeeping matters associated with the main point of the bill. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. I have one, and then I think there's others that have it. You talk about the gas line right away that might be needed if and when. Will this would where would that entity, that gas line entity, have to go to get this right away? Would they have to come to the railroad for part of it, or would they go completely to DNR? You know, that type of a scenario.
Well, within the structure we set up here, if the gas pipeline people are ready to go, they go to DNR, because until the railroad is in the construction process, this whole corridor that we will designate will be reserved and managed by DNR, and they have, you know, a whole lot of processes already in place for issuing permits for activities like that. The wrinkle here is that DNR has the obligation, if that happens, to come in, consult with the railroad, and give us the opportunity to pinpoint where we think our rail line is going to go within the 500-foot wide corridor at that point in time, so they can design the pipeline so as not to impact that person.
Okay, thank you. Other questions?
I'm afraid to start asking questions because we're not going to stop. Well, my first question would be, Mr. Chairman. My first question would be, if the state grants 500-foot right-of-way to the railroad, and then if the pipeline is built prior to the railroad being built, one of the main concerns for building the railroad in the first place, I understood, was transporting the pipe for building the pipeline. So, two questions, is that or is that not the case? And secondly, who would get the revenue from the pipeline going down the corridor that we have granted to the railroad? Would it go to the railroad or would it go to the state of Alaska?
I believe it would go to the state because, as the railroad coming into this picture with the pipeline, I think I started the need for the railroad to transfer the pipe. And that's a decision that will have to be made if and when the time. But I don't know if that maybe Phyllis, if you would like to answer that question more clear than I.
Yes, sir, I can add just a little bit. You did actually cover it pretty well, I think. But I guess I would say the designating of the 500-foot right-of-way by the railroad is not going to entitle the railroad to any revenue from anything. All the management authority and the revenues from any contracts within that corridor will remain with DNR until the railroad is really ready to begin construction. We have identified funding. We're ready to start building some stretch of it. And at that point in time, and this, if you want to look in your bill, that's supposed to be accomplished by paragraph D. This is when we notify, and that's on page 3, when the railroad notifies DNR we're ready to begin construction, then they will give us management authority for that portion for the construction time period. And that includes then the authority to allow permits to other parties. We're going to step in DNR's shoes for that portion of the 500-foot right-of-way that we're ready to begin construction within. And then, you know, presumably construction happens within some reasonable time period. We're finished, and we give them the survey, and then they transfer full title to us. And at that point in time, we continue to get revenue from whatever portion of some other contract is within the right-of-way. But it's only a 200-foot right-of-way. And remember, we're going to be trying to coordinate the development of the pipeline so that it doesn't adversely impact the railroad in any way, and it can very well choose its own topography and so on and stay outside the 200-foot right-of-way. If there's a pipeline permit issue and it veers and zigzags around and ends up with some part of it within our 200-foot portion and some of it in the rest of the 500 feet, the 300 feet that's left in DNR, then there's a provision in here that the revenues from any contract like that gets prorated based kind of on the lineal footage within our part of the corridor versus what's left of the corridor.
Yeah.
Did that make sense? I'm sorry, it's kind of
convoluted. We have DNR online, Bob Lofrier, if he wanted to expand on that, but it's my understanding a 200-foot right-of-way with the rail down through the middle just leaves 100 feet on the other side right to the rail. So I don't know if 100 feet would be, I don't think 100 feet would be adequate for a pipeline of the size. And if somebody wants to answer, Wendy, you like, or Bob?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am on the line. And
would you state your name?
It would not be adequate, but...
Would you state your name and affiliation, please?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, this is Bob Leffler. I'm director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water for the Department of Natural Resources.
Can you spell your last name?
L-O-E-F-F as in Frank, L-E-R.
Thank you.
But we expect that portions of the right-of-way may overlap, and it would provide an opportunity for the railroad to be constructed, to provide transport for the right-of-way. So those portions that do overlap, they would get the revenue for.
Okay. Wendy, did you want to?
I was just going to add that when we went through this process.
Name.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the record, I'm Wendy Linsgoog with the Alaska Railroad. And through the chair, Senator Wagner, when we went through this process, what we were really trying to identify is if the railroad doesn't have money for construction of a rail line, but the gas pipeline comes along and is a project that is wanting, is ready to move forward. Recognizing that a rail line is a lot less flexible in terms of route than a gas pipeline is, we came to this language that basically would allow the railroad to at least go in and survey that center line and say, for purposes of grade and, curves and all the things that we worry about from an engineering standpoint, we could show, okay, this is the most likely area where the rail line would need to be laid, identify the 200 feet on either side, and then you would have the rest of the corridor that you would consider putting that gas pipeline in. Or if the gas pipeline had to, go in or under or somehow interface with the railroad, at least we'd have the mechanism set up through this bill to kind of approach that discussion in cooperation with DNR.
I'd like to make note that Senator Olson has been here for some time. Sorry to not recognize you earlier. And also I'd like to make note our good friend from Eagle River, Senator Dyson, has joined us. And is there more questions? Or
she had a question related to
it. In relationship to this, I appreciate you allowing me to tag on to that question. But I didn't hear Mr. Leffler. You said when there is an overlap, who would receive the dollars for it?
The portion that is within you prorate them such that the portion within the railroad's land would go to the railroad and the portion outside the railroad's land would go to DNR. This is a very common occurrence which we have all over the state, it's pretty straightforward, Mr. Chairman and Senator.
Thank you. This isn't a question for you, Mr. Leffler, because I think it would be for Phyllis to answer, perhaps, or maybe the representative for Alaska Railroad here in Juneau. If I look at page 4, it says under F, line 13, notwithstanding other provisions of this section, if a natural gas pipeline is proposed for construction before the corporation begins construction of a railroad improvement, then DNR shall give the corporation notice. Okay, I understand that. That if that pipeline is proposed before the construction of the railroad, then we need to give notice to the railroad. But then on beginning line 18, if the corporation provides the corporation being the railroad, provides a survey alignment to the department may not authorize construction of a natural gas pipeline within a 200-foot corridor center unless the department does not find a feasible and prudent alternative. That just seems like that puts us into court somewhere. That it's not clear to me. First of all, Mr. Chairman, I don't think there's anyone in the legislature, I might be mistaken, but I don't think there's anyone in the legislature who does not support a natural gas pipeline, right? And we know, I think also we know the route that pipeline fairly well is going to take. It just seems to me that we're sort of getting the cart before the horse here, of saying, well, the railroad can go in and take this corridor, and if we don't have that pipeline up and going and identified before then, the railroad has the right to select their 200-foot corridor if not more. And then we go in after the fact. I don't understand that logic.
Phyllis is online and DNR, but I think, just to answer your question, that the corridor that we're trying to establish now is sort of a paper corridor. It's not going to be surveyed, and nothing until the time comes for the need to build the railroad. But we're trying to do from a satellite imaging or something, some sort of a very inexpensive picture, plan, plot of where we think the railroad should be. But that could change, and I think, if I'm correct, I think the railroad realizes that also. Am I correct, Phyllis, or?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman and Senators, and I should add that the way we envision this operating is that that's true, it's kind of a paper or very loosely defined corridor to start with. And if the pipeline is proposed for construction, at least we will hear about it. We'll at least consult with DNR about trying to design the pipeline route to avoid what would be a problem for the railroad. But, you know, it's possible we could be getting closer and have the money to actually go out and survey a center line. That gives us a chance to do that if we can. And as I think Ms. Linscoog pointed out, the railroad grade and everything is a little bit more sensitive for the pipeline, for the railroad than it is for the pipeline. And it's also true that we like to keep, for safety reasons, things that can be hurt by tank cars when they derail and so on, we like to keep them at least 100 feet away. So what we're trying to do is keep that buffer. If we can define the railroad center line at that point in time, then DNR is going to try to keep the pipeline at least 100 feet away on either side, unless that's really not feasible and prudent. That's the standard probably Mr. Leffler can explain better than I, but that's apparently a fairly common way of determining things that DNR applies, you know, when it's making decisions. And we're comfortable with that because we realize that there could be some places where for geography, you know, mountain, cliffs, what have you, it may have to be a little closer to our rail line. And we'll have to live with that if that comes to pass. But this is just intended to give us an opportunity to all talk about it.
But Mr. Chairman, before Mr. Leffler answers the question, as Phyllis has said, you know, they might have that survey alignment done fairly early. I don't know if you're calling that the paper one, but she alluded to the survey alignment could be done fairly soon. So if that's the case, then we're into this segment of it. Because it says if the corporation provides a survey alignment. So, Mr. Leffler, please alleviate my fears here, and maybe you could tell me, don't we have some information already on the pipeline corridor so we're not put into this position of having to negotiate our way out of it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lincoln, I believe when I discussed this with Phyllis, our interest was making sure that the railroad does not become an impediment to the gas line. That was what we tried to accomplish. And what this language does is say, where we know where the gas line is going to be, if they have a right-of-way, then they're a valid existing right. But if we're considering giving them a right-of-way, and it turns out that they're taking the best place for a railroad, then we want to think about it. And if, in fact, they can move without much cost, then we should move. But if they can't move without much cost, without a lot of cost, then they should stay. But that thought process is what we want to do. We just want to be able to think about it. Now, the legal, since we had to put that into language, and thinking about it seems sort of a more ambiguous language, we use the language feasible and prudent alternative. And that's pretty standard language for DNR. But it means really taking everything into account, including the practicality, safety, and economics. If it's better to move the gas line because it doesn't cost that much, then we should move the gas line. But if it's not better to move the gas line, then we shouldn't. And that's really what that language means. It means just think about it, taking into account alternatives, including economics and social and things like that. So that's what we use the language for, and when we say think about it, that's the legal standard we put in there, but it is a very common legal standard for DNR. And so I don't, especially with another state agency such as the railroad, court doesn't strike me as a very, it's unlike, I hope that to be an unlikely event.
Mr. Chairman, if I could chime in, this is Phil.
Yes.
I would also say I think I maybe created a misimpression here, was speaking loosely, because the survey of the center line that's referred to in this paragraph we're talking about I'd like for things to happen sooner, but that's not what I'm expecting to have soon. That is actually an on-the-ground, true survey, you know, with people out there going along every foot of the way. That's the survey center line. The activity I meant to imply and suggest would happen maybe sooner is the very first thing in the very first section of this bill, where we delineate a proposed 500-foot corridor, and as I think the chairman mentioned, we're hoping to rely on a lot of aerial photographs and work that's already been done, and that will not be surveyed. That will be a pretty broad brush stroke, and so that level of the level of protection of the railroad center line that's envisioned by this gas pipeline is not something that is likely to happen very soon, frankly.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I didn't hear, Mr. Leffler, your answer to my question of, haven't we already begun looking at a corridor for a gas pipeline, a natural gas pipeline corridor?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Lincoln, I'm sorry, I didn't answer that question. The answer is that we do, yes, that's correct, and we do have some initial stages of some right-of-way applications. So we do have some general alignments for pipelines, yes.
Does it fall within this route that is being proposed?
Well, since the railroad route hasn't been proposed yet, I don't know.
But it's my understanding that the survey, calling the word survey, doesn't mean an on-the-ground survey. This means like a plot plan that you might get be required to get to build a house. You get that, then when the house is finally built, you come and do an as-built of actually how it was. But that's what I envision. It's a paper thing done by a satellite. It's not saying from here to this point to that point. They will come and walk the surveyors would come and walk the center line, and at the time, I believe then, would set the perimeters of it with actual stakes in the ground or whatever, and identify each stake.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, Phyllis said that the survey alignment was on the ground.
Well, I don't think that, well, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman and Senators. The informal one from the air and so on is the one that I think I envision for the railroad, setting aside that first description of the full 500 feet. And we'll rely on as much existing data as we can for that. For then the more specific designation of the center line of a level sufficient to kind of put the pipeline in a position to have to at least coordinate, avoid if possible, and so on. That needs to be a fairly specific designation of the center line. And we use the word survey. I'd have to, you know, rely on surveying technology at that time as to whether we'd have to walk every foot of it. But if we're at the point of a pipeline being ready to go in, begin construction, and the railroad not ready to begin construction, if we're going to try to define a corridor for the pipeline to try to stay out of, we need to define it fairly specifically, because that's only fair. So there probably would be a lot of work on the ground, maybe not all of it, but still not quite the level of work on the ground of putting in markers every so many feet that you would do for the final conveyance after construction of the railroad. That's the full-blown survey with people on the ground every foot of it.
And also, I'd like to add to that, when the full-blown survey starts, they will have to have witness posts that's already in place or go a long way, and we haven't even established how close that would be. As I said again, this would be a picture brought from a satellite and try to establish approximately what we're trying to achieve here.
Thank you.
And I think everybody realizes, you know, when we first had this bill before us, they had a fiscal note that was kind of very expensive from DNR, and I didn't accept that because this is too far in the preliminary stage to put a high fiscal note in. Senator.
Thank you.
Who's online?
We have attorney for the railroad and a Bob Loffer from DNR.
Yeah, okay. And pardon me for being late, and thanks for the courtesy allowing me to participate. I have two questions. One is on page 2, the paragraph 4 and following, in performing the work, the corporation shall consider the following. I think that particularly with what's going on with the climate here in the north, we are noticing a significant change in the subsurface temperatures, and particularly the permafrost and ice-rich ground. And I would want any of you to comment on, would there do any damage to this if we added another paragraph that says, minimize the subsurface stability problems by avoiding, where possible, ice lenses and permafrost-rich ground? Now, fortunately, much of that has been surveyed and is already in the literature, you know, and so on, and it ought not to be difficult to get that information. And I don't think environmental concerns takes that, subparagraph 5 takes that into consideration enough. Could, but it's environmental generally tends to think about the impact on wildlife, grasses, and fish. And this is literally a foundation stability problem. And the other thing I'm concerned about, I'm leaving Sunday to meet with counterparts in Whitehorse, and those guys are passionate. And the chairman and I have both had people in our offices last week, and they are very, very interested in this project because it can commercialize a whole bunch of their mineral wealth. So in paragraph 8, line 17, existing line 17, where it says, could contribute significantly to the state's economic development. I'm wondering if it would do a disservice to this bill if we added, and Yukon Territory's economic development. So it would contribute significantly to the state's and Yukon Territory's economic development. What I want here is that there be a complementary process where we're working with those guys so that we're considering what works for them on economic and mineral development as well as us as we site the route. And I think John and I both, the guys that were talking to us from Yukon, yes, a couple of days, were talking about the Tonsina Trench route as being most advantageous to them. So I just invite any of you all's comments on that, those two ideas.
Yeah, just as a thing, I think this bill just terminates at the border, you know, and that's one point. But the interest is very well taken that it in the future it'll go further.
Yeah, but I would say if it terminates at the border and there's a huge field of delicate permafrost right across the border, it's a dumb idea to not have looked right across the border at what the environment, the stability of the rail bed is going to be. You know, so I would think it would be very foolish to not take into account the route the railroad would take afterwards in designing our portion of it. And similarly, if we could move it north or south along our border with very little difference in cost and greatly facilitate Yukon's mineral development, it would be foolish not to. I didn't mean to contradict you.
Yeah, no, I understand. But like I said, I think we're all in agreement that the objective is to put this railroad and connect to the Canadian railroad. I think it is in where is it? It's in
Fort Nelson.
Yep, that's BC.
Yep.
So I have no problem unless you want to change a word from Yukon to Canada, that would be fine. But it covers the whole thing.
Sure.
Senator Ontario.
But on page 6,
is 4240465 talks about corporation acquiring land and or interest in Canada. So there is a section here of the bill that talks about land for the right-of-way in Canada, and perhaps Senator Dyson's reference to, you know, citing for benefit to the Canadian government needs to be in that specific section. I don't know.
Yes, no problem. Do you have any comment, or do you have any, Phyllis Johnson from the railroad, the legal...
Mr. Chairman, I think I've heard most of it, and I think I tend to agree with Senator Cario that it's probably more logical to add that consideration in the very last paragraph of all of this where it deals with sending through Canada anyway. And I think that is a reasonable consideration to take into account. And I also didn't get all of the exact words of Senator Dyson. Concerns about the foundation stability problems, but I think those are good thoughts, and they probably, you know, apply both within Alaska and outside Alaska for a line consideration, and we might easily work that into, you know, one of the factors in B, back on page two, as he was suggesting, to kind of flesh out beyond strictly environmental concerns, or it might also kind of fit in with the thought of subparagraph 7, which is minimizing construction costs, because that's really part of what you would be doing there is, you know, weighing the cost of minimizing the subsurface problem here versus having to, say, go way out of your way and incur more costs in another direction. So it would be a weighing process to take into account there.
Yeah, we have, I think, motivation. I would, unless there's objection, would ask Fred to work with my staff for getting the language exactly, and we wordsmith the language that he would like. Make sure put it as an amendment on in this on page 6, and he indicates that would be fine. And Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The concern that I have as far as including some of the Yukon territory into this is that I'm afraid, it's my understanding that there is opposition to the railroad in Canada. And that if we go ahead and promote our line going to the Canadian border and include language where it has the reference to Canada or the Yukon in it, that we may indeed bring across opponents to our side of the border, opponents to the railroad. And maybe that's an unfounded fear, but I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, I think you and I will have a good chance to visit with them this weekend on that very issue. There's some political processes that are going on there, and some of the landowners that might be along the way, my own feeling is that they are not necessarily against the railroad, but they're using it as a bargaining chip to accomplish other things. What I've heard from the government of Yukon and the folks with mineral interests and economic development stuff, very, very strong in favor of it.
Yeah,
but there are some groups that are playing, from their perspective, a very legitimate political game in order to accomplish other things. And we're wise to be smart about it. And it's something you and I ought to really broach with those guys Monday.
And I'd just add to that that I had written a letter to the editor. I don't know how it got to White Horse, but it got in the White Horse newspapers, and I got a lot of very positive remarks about the letter. And I think I intended to go to the Fairbanks. So, anyway, I've read that the support is almost unanimous, or it's very strong in the Yukon territory for this. But you will report back to that. Okay, is there any other questions? Senator Wagner.
I understand the resource development and mining, and I also understand a little bit about enriched ore and everything and the transportation of it. And I'm sitting looking at the railroad, and is there anything in the future other than mining and perhaps maybe not carrying the pipe for the pipeline? And the reason I asked that question, I contacted Lyndon And Linden runs a barge weekly from Lower 48 to Alaska, and they can't even fill that barge up. On an average, it's a 50 rail car barge, and they average 38 cars per trip. And they claim that there isn't any other need for rail freight to Alaska unless there's a tremendous boom in this state. So I'm wondering, I'm not anti-railroad, but I'm saying before we even go this step, maybe we should be talking a little more about the long-term benefits to Alaska by this railroad and who's going to pay the cost if it's done. Otherwise, we could be, a corridor is one thing, but what are we getting ourselves and the state into? That's all I'm asking, and who's going to be footing the bill along the way if we continue and the development starts happening, and heaven forbid, but if our current congressional delegation isn't in Washington, D.C. at a certain time, is the state of Alaska going to be saddled with the cost of building this project? That's the question that's been in my mind all the time.
I have talked with Jim Johnson too, another our Linden Transport. I don't know in particular. I mean, some of the things I'm sure would happen, it would be a lot of tourists would ride the railroad too. They're not going to ride this barge coming up here on the railroad, but that would be a small factor in this. But I don't know. My staff said they could address this if you want to come up here and identify yourself. And I don't know what he's going to say, but hopefully it's good. You can do it right here if you'd like.
He didn't want to get too close to the chairman.
I'm Richard Schmidt, staff for Senator Cowdery, and it's interesting because I've in the long time that I've you know studied and read up on this project, it seems like one of the things I had a chance to talk with Mead Treadwell the other day, who's with the Northern Forum, and he pointed out to me, and I thought it was very interesting, that there's right now you know the biggest freighters and the oil tankers can't go through the Panama Canal. So the canal, the people that own it, the companies that own it, are looking to raise billions of dollars to rebuild the canal. And he pointed out that a rail connection from Alaska, because of the ports like Seward and Anchorage, I guess, and Whittier, are so much closer to Asia, that a rail going across out of Alaska through northern Canada to Halifax would actually beat freight going through the Panama Canal, even the rebuilt one. So that's a potential competition right there. And I think it's interesting to note that the first transcontinental railroad, when it was built across the country, 90% of its freight, its first 10 years, was transshipping goods from Asia to Europe. So that part, I think, is really seems like very significant, of just using the ports to transport from Asia to the East Coast or Europe. And then tourism has always been talked about. We know the cruise ships are looking for a circle. You know, they bring the people up on the boats, and they want to have, and trains are very, very popular because they can, you know, they have the dome cars and that kind of thing. So from what you hear, tourism could be a bigger factor than people might think it would be, because it's got such a opportunity for growth. And I just would mention those two.
I think I gave a speech in Russia. It was in, where was that? Well, over in Russia, they had a big meeting three years in St. Petersburg, Russia. And the concern was with the Panama Canal now in the hands of the Panamanians and with the communist China owning all the land on each side, they felt that the tourists or that the rates, tariffs, might go to such a point that it would be difficult to be competitive to the East Coast. And when I talked about, and they questioned me, they gave me 15 minutes to speech, and they questioned me for 30 minutes, and I brought up the possibility of a railroad to have another access to the East Coast. So anyway, with that said, there's worldwide interest in things. Senator?
Mr. Chairman, not on this subject. I'd just like to see, I think you indicated at the beginning of the meeting that you really would have preferred to move the bill out.
Yes.
Some ideas have been brought up, and I'm just wondering if maybe we can deal with them somewhat in a conceptual way, because we do have two additional committees that we can further wordsmith it. So just to see if I understand Senator Dyson's concerns and have some suggestions on how they could be dealt with, Senator Dyson, the suggestion was perhaps with the stability of the soils, that could be added on to either number 5 or number 7. And I was thinking perhaps if we added some language to number 7 that said minimization of probable construction costs, including but not limited to steps to avoid areas of possible instability due to warming soil conditions, if you think that would meet your concern on that front.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. If I would just add the word warming frozen soil conditions.
Mr. Chairman, that would certainly be fine with me, and I'm more than happy to move this conceptually so you can work with the drafters a little bit in case they suggest a comma here or a comma there.
Yep. That's why I had asked Fred to...
I'll move that as a conceptual amendment, and let me restate it. On page 2, line 15, and add on, so it would now read number 7, minimization of probable construction costs, including but not limited to steps to avoid areas of possible instability due to warming of frozen soil conditions.
Good.
That is acceptable. And we will, like I said, work with you to get it.
That gets there.
I'll move that mass for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Hearing none.
And then, Mr. Chairman, as the second amendment, then to deal with the issue of showing the Canadians we're not just interested in running up to our border, and I would propose that perhaps we take all of the B section on page 2, which would be lines 4 through 19. And that's basically what we're saying.
Identify the border.
Page 2, lines 4 through 19. So all of those 9 items. Look out for safety, traditional use.
Starting with B, right?
Yeah, B. So it'd be line four, all the way through and including line 19. And we just add that to the section on the last page, page 6. We're talking about requiring the Canadian land. On page 6, 44, 40, 465. We would make that existing language an A, and then we would add an entire B section there. So we're showing that we're going to be concerned about the same things in Canada that we are on the American side. Soil conditions, traditional use, all those things.
And particularly subparagraph 8, access to identified natural resources. That's the huge interest.
It would include all of those things.
That's even better than I thought of.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll move that conceptually and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Chairman, I object just for purposes of a question. This section is to authorize the Alaska Railroad to continue to investigate the extension through Canada, correct? Mr. Chairman, for the Alaska, do we as a legislature have to authorize the railroad board? Can't they just do that on their own? Or do we need to authorize them the permission? Really? Is it just because it goes through Canada, or?
Let's ask our legal.
Phillip.
Because we own the railroad.
And Senator Lincoln, where the second section or sentence there says the corporation may acquire land.
Right.
So if they actually move to acquire land, we're giving them the same instructions.
I understand that. I'm not questioning the amendment that you added in there. I'm just questioning that whole portion there that I didn't realize that we had to give them the permission to even acquire land. I thought they could do it on their own. They're an independent board from, although they are Alaska owned, they are an independent board. So maybe she could answer that.
Yeah, we had a bill the other day that we had to give them authorization to require on a government hill property. And they, you know, they didn't have the authorization. They couldn't do that. No guarantee that they would do it, but they certainly couldn't even approach it without our agreement.
They had that. They already had that land. They just needed to have an extension of.
Extension. Yeah. Well, it needed
to the 99 years.
It needed the legislature's approval. Is what I'm putting.
Is Phyllis still online to just?
Yeah, Phyllis.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman and Senator Lincoln. To tell you the truth, I am not sure whether we have to have legislative approval to acquire land outside the United States. That's a new question for us, and frankly, I just left this section the way it was. Whether or not we have very broad powers for our corporation in our Corporation Act, but I don't think it says anything about extraterritorial rights. So I think it doesn't hurt to have this in there if the legislature indeed wishes us to have that authority, and then there's no question, you know, in black and white. I did have, however, if I may, I have one question regarding the amendment as Senator Terrio proposed it, and I wasn't sure if the intention was to take all of what is now B back up on page 2 and move it over to page 6 or just repeat it on page 6.
Phyllis, this is Senator Terrio. It would be just to repeat it.
Okay. Thank you. That's good because, as I think Senator Lincoln pointed out, this is the last thing is just about within Canada. So thank you.
The title. Anyway, Senator Olson, are you through? Yes. Senator Terrio?
Oh, wait a minute. There was objection to the motion, so we've got to deal with the motion yet.
Oh, yeah, we've got to deal with it.
I don't know if it's on that motion.
Senator Olson.
Oh, no, it isn't actually.
Well, Mr. Chairman, because it does go to the Resources Committee next, I would just perhaps give the Resources Chair a heads up that this is something that legally they need to look at to see if we need to correct that, and I would remove my objection.
Okay. Senator.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate the Senate President's help here on my amendments. Because on page 6, the last subsection there has the permissive may instead of shall, you know, it still does not remove my concern. I mean, I think that the folks doing this will take into account a route that would be most beneficial to Yukon and BC. But I would be more comfortable if we change that, either change that to shall, or back on page 2, subparagraph 8, where it says the location of an opportunity to obtain access to identified natural resources could contribute significantly to the state's, I would add, and Canada's economic development. Just so that even if they don't go on to investigate the extension, they are still required to take into consideration what might work best for our Canadian neighbors on that route.
Mr. Chairman, I would take it that since I moved things conceptually, that the B section in the first half of the bill speaks to Alaska. The B section in the second half is more directed at Canada. So I would expect the drafters to have caught that we want to speak to Canada. We're moving that whole section to the back of the bill, we're copying it, that they should change the word Alaska to Canada.
No, you missed my point. Because the stuff on page 6 is permissive, they may consider it. I still want on page 2, even if they don't do anything about the connection of the railroad, they only go to the border. I still want them to consider where the route is, to take into consideration the Alaskan portion, that it would still be to the benefit of our Canadian neighbors if and when it gets extended. Because I don't want a corridor that just goes to Canada and dead ends there and doesn't consider what would happen if it extends beyond. So if they don't ever do the stuff on page 6, I still want them to cite the corridor taking into consideration Canada's interests.
If I could just add for food for thought, what happens in this, if we go to the Canadian border and stop, and then the Canadian railroad decides to come and join ours,
sure,
are they living by our rules, or, you know, I mean,
and
we hope that would happen, but it,
and if I might, Mr.
Yes.
President, and what if we had cited it, we're taking no, our run right up to the border, taking nothing into consideration of what's across the border, and they ran it the other way, and they were 100 miles apart, you know, because I want them to have that conversation before. Only governments are capable of being that stupid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I have is for Ms. Johnson. When we look at this bill and we bring up the concern about the acquisition of land and having to go to the extra step of declaring eminent domain, how much of this proposed corridor do you anticipate we're going to have to use eminent domain to acquire the land that's necessary?
Mr. Chairman and Senators, I have no idea myself at this point. The railroad doesn't have enough data about the what would be the potential route to say that. It's possible Mr. Leffler, I don't mean to bump the question over to him, but he may have just a little bit better idea than I about the land holdings in kind of that general half of the state, because I've not really had occasion to look at that.
Mr. Leffler?
Are you still here with us, Bob? Keep it a little longer online.
Mr. Chairman, if I could continue.
Please.
I'm voicing, whenever you're dealing with eminent domain, certainly there is a fair amount of controversy that goes along with it, as well as the battles that are, battle lines are drawn with the people that are involved, whether in the private sector or otherwise. I'm voicing the same concern that the senator from Kenai has voiced about encumbering future generations, especially in light of the fact that we're dealing with such a vast amount of real estate there, with a 500-foot wide corridor in places where it will allow it, going down to 200 feet is indeed a fair amount of land that we're talking about. When you go to 500 feet in all that area, there is a reservation that I have that is there in line with Senator Wagner.
Wendy's coming to the table. Would you like to fill us, or you'd like Wendy to try to answer that, and then you could follow up on her?
That would be fine. I do have something I'd like to say, but we'll let Wendy go first.
Okay.
I was just going to conceptually address maybe some of the questions that are coming to us at this point. I think it's important to note that a feasibility study for this project really hasn't been done at this point, and at a federal level, Governor Murkowski, but at the time Senator Murkowski had legislation that was approved to go ahead and authorize some funding for a bilateral commission, and that the positions for that commission haven't been filled at this point. The discussions are still ongoing about that, but that commission would serve the purpose of looking at a lot of these questions. What freight would you be hauling? You know, the economic viabilities, the land issues involved, and going into more depth than what certainly we have done at this point on the project.
Thank you. Phyllis, do you have anything to add?
Yes, sir. I would like to say specifically on the question of eminent domain, I wanted to point out a couple of things. The Alaska Railroad Corporation has never exercised the right to eminent domain. Although we do have a statutory power, it is limited by having to get the governor's approval before we do it. So that would be one kind of check and balance on us. And then secondly, you notice on page 1 of the proposed bill, on line 10, one of the changes that was made in this version compared to the previous version was where it says shall be at least 500 feet wide, except where there are a couple of things that might make us think otherwise, and one of those is specifically private land ownership, because we were thinking as we added that we also realized that eminent domain and condemnation are buzzwords that really, the red flags, they get everyone upset, they're not fun for anyone involved, and so we may well think that if 200 feet or 300 feet, something less than 500 feet is appropriate in kind of the choke points, you know, where development has already occurred so much that you would have to condemn too much land or negotiate sales if you wanted a wider corridor. We're leaving ourselves the discretion to just be narrower there.
I can just make a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Certainly, it does allay some of the concerns I have if the railroad has never exercised its power to get eminent domain, because I know that that in some situations it can be a very abusive authority that people or entity may have.
Senator Terry.
Thank you. And Phil, it's on page 1, lines 9 through 10, where you talk about something less than 500 feet. You have there wedged between a couple commas, though, in the corporation's discretion. Do we need to have that language in there, or could we just say, except where physical obstacles or private land make a narrow corridor appropriate?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Terrio, I guess it seems to me you have to have a bit of flexibility. I don't know the land ownership patterns all out that way yet, but it's foreseeable and possible there are going to be places where even if condemnation is not really what happens, we may have to negotiate some sales. And, you know, there are lots of controls over how you negotiate, especially if, and is likely, federal funding is involved in something like this. There's a whole additional layer of negotiations and protections, really, for the people whose land is at stake. And I frankly, from the railroad's perspective, I think we need to be able to look at that. I'm not saying arbitrary, you know, taking an arbitrary stance on it, but there may be some places where maybe there's not even 100 feet, and so we are going to have to do something to acquire some land. And if you take away our discretion to judge where that is, we may have to be back down dealing with someone in Juneau on the subject every time one of these comes up. I think the corporation should have a bit of discretion, knowing that, of course, if we abuse it in the, say, the condemnation context, the first phone call we get will be from someone in Juneau.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
The only comment I would have, Mr. Chairman, if I could,
Senator Olson,
is that I tend to agree with Ms. Johnson that there needs to be some discretion, and it sounds like they have used discretion in the past about, and I tend to favor that language, or I'd actually more strongly favor that language remaining in there.
Thank you. Any more questions? Senator Lincoln?
Mr. Chair, I realize this goes to the Resources Committee, and I'm on there, so yeah. A number of the questions could be asked and
sure.
Answered there too, but I do have a number of them. But it's in looking back at the transcript of last year when we had this discussed at great length, and I remember Senator Torgerson that was very concerned about giving, quote, the state's mineral rights away, as well as complicating things for the gas pipeline, and that is a concern that I have already expressed, and there were just a whole list of concerns that, you know, protecting the public use and access within and across the corridor, and maybe some of those things I can just ask during the Resources Committee meeting.
Is there any other questions? Well, I'd entertain a motion. Senator Terrio.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Transportation CS with the conceptual amendments removed from committee with individual recommendations, and the 1-0 fiscal note.
Is there any objections?
Mr. Chairman, just a question, if I might. I guess I have to object in order to ask the question. So we're leaving page 6 as proposed.
As amended.
With the conceptual amendment.
Right. Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, if you would have your staff maybe run the CS
yes.
language by myself and Senator Dyson,
yeah,
just to take a look at.
Thank you.
But we're not changing then the page 2 as Senator Dyson was
removing that.
Senator Dyson had talked about
adding the on page.
He's
yeah.
also a member of the Resources.
Okay.
So,
three of us get to go through this.
It's great joy.
I need to get to conceptual amendments of the second and third order.
I remove my objection.
Yeah. So we're going to move the bill to the next with the appropriate amendments, and our staff will work with your staff to do that. And we're adjourned. We thank everybody.